Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, people. Welcome to the Brovian Talks. Follow us on Twitter for news, information, and stuff by following us on Twitter at Brovian93, at Brovian93. That is BROVIAN93 on Twitter. So, the Jets finally win a game. Thank God. I mean, boy, I know going into the season, the first six games would be tough. The likelihood would be coming out was one win, possibly two. We get out of the first six games of the year with a 1-5 record. Not good at all. But as I said on Monday, Fitzpatrick deserves one more game with a below average team. The Jet ownership, the general manager, the coach all caved in. And they threw the quarterback under the bus. They let Geno Smith start. Geno Smith leaves the game due to an injury. And Fitzpatrick helps the Jets win. And now they're 2-5 as they go to Cleveland to play the Browns, who are currently, I believe, 0-6. You know, Fitzpatrick, in the first six games of the season, didn't play well. He played pretty bad. I know it. You know it. I mean, I can't remember a single quarter in which he didn't throw the ball. I mean, turn the ball over. But he deserves, based on last year and based on the money he's getting paid this year, to at least have one more chance against a below-average team in Baltimore. He deserves one more game. But the Jets ditched him. And now I hear on social media, on TV, and on radio, that they're all killing Fitzpatrick for speaking out against ownership and all the people in the organization who didn't believe in him. Well, he's right. Nobody believed in him. Now, have you? Part of it is his fault because he played like crap. But you brought this guy back for one more season. He's a starting quarterback. So you obviously think he's the best chance to win. And when the kitchen got too hot, you ditched him. You threw him under the bus. Because Patrick knows he won't be back next season. He knows he's not the future. So he pretty much has nothing to lose within the Jet organization. So good for him, you know. He was wrong. He played a decent game, and now he has his job back for at least one more week. And the Jets finally, as a team, played a pretty good game. I mean, the defense showed up. They made big stops, and they ran the ball. I mean, their running game was effective. We haven't seen them running the ball this much since probably Buffalo. And the defense got turnovers. Go figure. I mean, this was the best Jet win. Well, we only have two. Correction. This was the best Jet game all year long, by far. Now, I do think they would have won the game with or without Fitzpatrick. Because the defense played great. They ran the ball well. The special teams, you know what? It was windy yesterday. When the wind out of control stuff happens, even though it shouldn't, it happens. so Baltimore gets a free touchdown. I mean, but when that happened, when the punter when the punter mishandled the ball and the Raiders scored a touchdown to make it 7-0, I was, oh my God, here comes slaughter. But give the defense credit. They stepped up. As a play like the defense, we thought they were beat in the beginning of the year. So just a 2-5 to go to Cleveland. I'm trying to get the schedule now, so definitely play after Cleveland. So they go play Cleveland, they play Miami, they play the Rams. Three teams who, let's face it, are not that good. Three winnable games. And you know what? By the bye week, they could be 5-5. And you know what? I like that chance at 5-5. I do. So anything can happen in football. The 2-5 now. They got Cleveland, Miami, the Rams. I mean, three of the worst teams in football. So there's plenty of time for the Jets to, you know, save the season. And I guess now that Patrick has won his job up until the team is no longer relevant. There's been a lot of talk lately about the NFL ratings, why they're declining. And the media, I think, is giving Kaepernick way too much credit. Number one, from day one, this whole Colin Kaepernick thing has annoyed me because I never understood, A, the backlash, B, the media's, I never understood why the media cared so much about the story. Because we've seen it throughout history. I mean, how many athletes have done a civil protest during the national anthem? I mean, it's been going on for at least 50 years. And now the media has this, you know, the lights on Kaepernick, the social media loves him, the media is adoring it. I mean, I guess it's a good story. Sure, it deserves some attention. But I think it's, you know, the whole thing's been made too much of it. First of all, I don't understand the backlash because, hello, freedom of speech. I mean, this is where politics and sports really shouldn't be mixed. Because politics is completely fickle and it's soulless. Sports, still be pure and full of unity. Now, I don't have, I'm neutral on this Kaepernick thing because honestly, it's his right to do whatever the hell he wants. If it's effective or not, we'll see. Obviously, to the media, it has been. But we'll find out, you know, time will tell. But, you know, I never understood backlash. It makes no sense to me. You know, is kneeling during the national anthem disrespectful to the military, disrespectful to the country? I guess it could be, but, you know, it's his right. You know, I get playing politics with it. I get it because Kaepernick's, you know, kneeling because he wants his issue to be brought out to the public, even though it is. The right-wingers, let's say that that's who they are, who are against it, want to put political points off it too. So the whole thing, you know, was probably a pure intent, has then become too political, and it really has become a bit filthy. Also, the media has to let the thing go because this Kaepernick thing, I doubt, has anything to do with the NFL ratings. I think the ratings has two parts to it. A, the election, which has become a circus in the past 2 weeks. And B, it's telling them that it's too much football. I really think it's too much football. Because you get football Thursday, football Monday, and football practically all day Sunday. I think people are getting tired of football. I really do. I think the election is a minor thing, but I think the big thing is that we're getting too much football. The NFL is shoving too much of it in our face. And let's face it, the Thursday games are not that good. The Monday night games are not that good. So we're getting too much football, and the special football games, Monday, Thursday, especially, those games are crap. I mean, who cares about, you know, who cares about the Falcons and the Saints? Who cares about the Eagles and the Bears? I mean, those are two Monday night games this year that nobody cares about. The Bears suck. There are no Falcons Saints fans anymore. I can't name you a single Saints fan. I have no idea. The quality of games on Monday and Thursday are not that good. They're not. And now you have a game on in London. So on Sunday, you have football from 9 a.m. until midnight. So practically all day. From morning till dawn. Well, from morning to midnight. I mean, it's unbelievable. There's too much football. People get tired. I get tired of it. I don't even watch Thursday night football. Unless it's a good game. I don't watch Monday night football anymore. You know, 10 years ago, I loved it. Now, I'm like, you know, two bad teams, two teams I don't care less about. I mean, it's annoying. I don't care. And the Sunday night game, which is the game of the week, practically, because that's the game you want to watch, I'm tired. I was a Jet game at 1 o'clock, the Giant game at 4. I'm tired. After 8 hours of football, I'm tired. Now you're ready for a whole other game on Sunday night. I mean, the whole thing is exhausting. So if I'm there at the NFL, I get rid of the Thursday night game. Get rid of Thursday night, which they will never do, and they'll play any more Saturday games. And give us a better Monday night game, too, because Monday night games have been crap lately. Give us a good Monday night game, and you know what? Maybe your ratings will go up. And also, I think it's TV. I think, you know, a lot of younger people, you know, I'm 23. I know a lot of people who don't own TV. I know tons of people who don't own TVs, at least 10. And they watch TV on the computer. They watch Netflix. They, you know, use their parents' TV provider and log in and watch shows on the computer. Or they pay, you know, to watch it online. But I think the main thing is too much football. I really do. I think if you get rid of Thursday night and make Monday night more intriguing and give us better games on Monday, I think it'll be a good boost for ratings. I really do. That's my opinion. I could be wrong. Who knows? But on to a baseball. I mean, the Cubs. You know, I noticed earlier I'm rooting against the Cubs. But I'm not really against the Cubs themselves or the fans. I'm rooting against the Cubs because of the whole media, the whole people jumping on the bandwagon. Because over the past month, especially over the past month, but really beginning at the beginning of the baseball season back in March, I mean, there's been so many front runners out there, so many people in the media, so many non-baseball fans who have made the Cubs really unbearable to watch. Or to at least root for. Because you could just feel the hypocrisy. You could just feel the phoniness. You know, these people are treating the Cubs like they're the greatest thing since sliced bread. They're treating this Cubs team like, oh my God, they have to win. I mean, some people have already called them champions. And they're like, what? I'm not kidding you. A lot of people on the internet, TV, whatever have you, have already claimed the team champions before the season even started. It was ridiculous. But for all you true diehard Cubs fans, and for the Cubs themselves, congratulations. You deserve it. I've always had a soft spot for the Cubs in my heart. Because, like many people outside of Chicago who get WG in America, I remember for at least the past 14 years, beginning in 2002, I was a Cubs on WG in America. Whenever the Mets had an off day, or whenever the Cubs had an afternoon game, I would come home from school, mostly on a Friday, mostly Fridays, coming from school, turn on the TV, and watch the Cubs on WG in America. And through the years, I had developed a soft spot for the Cubs. I've seen a lot of good Cub teams, 03, 07, 08. I've seen some terrible Cub teams. Some Cub teams who are just flat out bad. I've seen Cup teams lose 100 games. I think Cup teams win divisions. I'm not a Cubs fan, but I have seen this team throughout the last 14 years have great moments and have bad moments. And I really must say, I didn't think in my lifetime the Cubs winning a pennant would happen this soon. I really didn't see it. And the only reason they beat the Dodgers was because their bat came alive. They have a great defense, a great pitching staff, a great bullpen, but they needed the offense. You can't win if you can't score. And boy, when that offense came alive, you couldn't turn it off. Now, I don't know why the Dodgers didn't pitch Kershaw for Game 5, knowing that was more than 5 days rest or 4 days rest. His ERA is like 9. So I would have pitched him Game 5, A, because his ERA is better when he pitches on 3 days rest. B, if there is a Game 7, you have a Game 7 in the bullpen. And possibly you leave Dodger Stadium up 3-2, heading to Wrigley Field. The Cubs have to win 2 in a row. But that's not what happened. The Cubs are National League champions. And wow, if this team wins the World Series, that city is going to be partying until the year ends. There will be no stopping it. And good for them, you know. It's been a while. They've had a lot of crappy teams. A lot of shots at it that they missed. And they finally hit the bucket. So, good for them. And this should be a good World Series. Indians? I mean, poor Cleveland. I mean, nobody cares about the Indians. Not even Cleveland does at this point. I mean, the whole world wants Chicago to win this thing. But, wow. Cleveland, probably the best bullpen in baseball. I mean, Cleveland is like the Dodgers. They're really good at wins. They're the best team in the world, but they know how to play baseball. They know how to win games. And that bullpen is phenomenal. I mean, if the Cubs want to win this series, they have to kill the starters. Because this bullpen won't give any runs. But we'll get into that tomorrow for our World Series preview. One thing on Cleveland. Watching them against Toronto and against Boston, they really look like the best team in the American League. And I really believe that we had the best two teams in baseball in the World Series. The Indians, especially in the postseason, who are the team in American League, and the Cubs, the best team in baseball. I mean, there is no weakness in the Cubs. The Indians have some weaknesses. I'm not a fan of the Indians playing lineup. They can't score a lot of runs. So they're probably under 4 runs a game, possibly under 3. But this Cubs pitching staff is pretty good, too. So if the Indians want to win, they can't let the Cubs bat get loose. But we'll talk about more of that tomorrow. Quickly on the election, I mean, my God, I can't believe this be over with 2 weeks out. Some polls have Trump up by 2. Some polls have Hillary up by 12. I mean, it depends what poll you want to look at. But this election, I know it's said it time and time again, but this election has really shown how hypocritical the media and politics as a whole. I've never seen so much bull thrown at me in my entire life. From Republicans defending character, to Democrats going after, you know, taking character, for example. I mean, how many times have we seen Republicans attack Bill Clinton on character? How many times have we seen Democrats defend Bill Clinton on character? When the WikiLeaks email came out against Jeb Bush, the Hillary people loved it. Now it's coming out against Hillary, the Hillary people are like, oh, we can't have that anymore. The media loves Trump pre-2010. Post-2010, they can't stand the guy. I mean, this has been hypocritical beyond belief. It's completely lost my trust in politics, has completely lost my trust in the media. And I really do hope these third and fourth parties, really gain some traction and really get to build momentum. Because maybe this is a way to really shape politics and shape the media to stop being this fraudulent agency they are. Because these people are nothing but a bunch of frauds. They are. I mean, how can you say voting for a third party is a wasted vote? It's not. Why would you vote against somebody? Why would you vote against something? Don't you want to vote for somebody? Vote for an issue? Now, if you want Trump to win, of course you're going to say, oh, voting for Gary Johnson is a wasted vote. Or if you want Hillary to win, oh, voting for Joe Stunt is a wasted vote. They're not wasted votes. If they get enough votes, the media will have to talk about them and hopefully one day include them in debates. And also, the issues they talk about get acknowledged and might be taken on by the government. Maybe the government might actually do something about it. I mean, good example, 92. Ross Perot made a deficit an issue. He was the one who brought up the deficit. He was the one who originally brought up how bad NAFTA was, how bad these free trade deals would be to the United States. And people are still talking about it. So third parties are important. They're not wasted votes. They're statements. You're saying hell no to the two-party system. You're saying hell no to all this nonsense they talk about. And you know what? If these third-party candidates really get enough votes, maybe some of those issues will be addressed. We saw it in the 90s. We might see it again. But, you know, Trump, I mean, you know, we saw there's a lot of speculation going around by Trump TV. And you know what? At first I thought it was all stupid talk. But now, seeing that, like, broadcast post and pre-debate show, and I was reading on the Hill that Trump now has a nightly newscast on his Facebook page. Maybe this Trump TV thing isn't such nonsense after all. And you know what? If he loses and he wants to do a TV station, what the hell? You know? I mean, sometimes, and I hate to say this, but sometimes it's better to lose than win. Because really, if you win, think about it. If you win, A, you're the president, B, you have all these problems at your desk. You have ISIS. You have racial tensions in America. You have an open border. You have a divided country. Congress may not want to work with you, depending on what party holds it and who wins the White House. You have an economy which is going extremely slowly. I mean, you're in pretty deep doo-doo. But if you lose, you're going to write a book, earn money on a speaking tour, go on TV. You might become a reality star. I mean, look at Mitt Romney. Look what he did after he lost. Look at Palin. Look at Gore. I mean, Al Gore made a fortune off losing. And Donald Trump might make a fortune too. So sometimes it's better to lose than win. And who wants to win? Who wants to be president? Huh? You know, half the people who run this all books will be on TV. Look at Ben Carson. You know, he's on TV now all the time. I'll be the president. I'll be talking in 2 years. There'll be a book out. Look at, you know, Perry. He lost. He was in the stars. Look at Santorum. He had the pack. Look at Huckabee. He had a TV show. I mean, sometimes it's better to lose. It really is. You know, you don't get all the pressure of the job. You get fame and fortune. And you get a strong following. You know, look at Palin. Mm-hmm. Years later, she still has a strong following. Because, you know, this election sucks. People hate both candidates. Yeah, so. Yeah,